truth. I was reading just this morning, Brother Brown was talking about being carefree in God. That was the promise, that you can be carefree. He said, but you can't be carefree if you try to do something. If you try to make this happen, or that's why, brother, he said, worrying is a sin. It's because you don't have faith that God's going to take care of it. And worrying, to me, every time I've ever worried, is I'm trying to think of a way to fix it myself, you know? And a lot of times, you're not going to fix problems. And most of the time, you're not going to fix them. If God leads you to say something and that's going to fix it, then that's okay. But remember that it's not on you to fix it. And that is the only way you can be carefree. And Brother Branham was talking about how he began to see amongst the ministers how that they were becoming, they were taking things in the message and they were, and he was seeing it and it was wrong and it was upsetting him. And he felt like it was his responsibility to go fix it. And he found out that as he started to do that, he started to lose his carefree. And he had to come back and just be responsible to the word, he said. And then let God take care of everything else. And that's what we have to be, you know, responsible to the word. Just take it. It's ours. He bought it and paid for every last word of it. So, and good morning. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you raised us up, Lord, with your words in our heart. And Lord, every day they sustain us and keep us, Lord. We're so thankful for them. And Lord, we long to be pleasing to you. And Lord, we're so thankful that you put that desire in our heart too, because it's not in the world. And Lord, we pray you'll bless us this morning. Open things to us and help us to understand, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So the last couple of services, we've been focusing on how that God manifests his seed. You know, he comes and broods over his seed and brings it to pass. And his spirit word is what he said was how he brooded over it. So we're going to read this morning where Brother Ram talks about you accept his word into your heart. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit begins to brood over that because it's going to bring it to pass. It's the life. And so we realized in the last couple of services, we talked about how that Satan in the garden, he interrupted that. They'd taken the word and they were standing with the word, and Satan got there and he interrupted it before the Holy Spirit could bring it to fully to pass. And but as we started to look at that, we realized that that's exactly what God intended to happen there. Brother Bram said he had to predestinate a man to be lost so that he could be Savior. I'm going to read you that here in just a minute. And as hard as it sounds to hear those words and say those words sometimes, Brother Bram said that we're grown Christians now and that it's not skim milk that we feast on anymore. And so let's take what he said and let's also realize that every word he gave us, there was a reason for it. Everything he told us, even sometimes when it sounds complicated, he wasn't trying to be complicated because he meant for us to take it by revelation, not by figuring it out. Amen. And so let's just do that. As Brother Graham said, he wasn't responsible. That no minister is responsible for how it's written. He's just responsible for saying it. So let's stay by that. And you're not responsible for bringing it to pass. Neither am I. Amen. Our responsibility is to accept it. Accept what he said and accept what he's done. All right, so starting in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, let's review just a minute what God's purpose and goal was. God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. So we went over this before, but let's think about that. God had, Brother Bram says he had one goal. One goal. And that was to express himself. And that's what he kept secret in his mind. And he let it out a little at a time, he said. A little bit at a time. When he set the garden in place, you don't know anything about that secret at that point. Nobody knows anything about redemption. There's no need for redemption. Everything, God made it, and it was like he meant to make it, and nothing had fallen. And so there was no need for redemption. So we have no picture of Christ yet. Nothing has been spelled out to us. We've not understood this secret that was in God's mind, because that was his secret. Remember what he said? He said it was in a threefold manner that he unfolded this secret. First, he expressed himself in Christ that he might have the preeminence in his bride to restore Eden. Remember? You can go read that. So when everything was perfect there in the garden, we couldn't see nothing. We couldn't see any of that yet. It was all hid. But as soon as that fall came, what did he do? He went and killed those lambs and took the bloody cloth, bloody skins, and he put it on them. See, God, Brother Bram said, the Bible from the beginning to the end is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the very first thing he done after the fall was to put them bloody skins on them to show in a type what was happening. And Brother Bram said there was all these different types through the prophet, through Abraham, all these different things going on. But when he gets to Jesus, it's not a type anymore. That's what he meant to be. Brother Bram said that's what he was wanting to express himself as and show what a man should be. And this was Christ. And so he hadn't done it until then. Adam was not that. Brother Bram said a life lived would have been the word, and Adam didn't do it. And let's think about that a little bit this morning as we go along. So he wanted to express himself. And because first there wasn't even a moon, a star, atom, molecule, anything, he was God. But he exactly wasn't God at the time, because God is an object of worship. And there was nothing to worship him. So no matter how many times we talk about being an eternal attribute, which we are, those eternal attributes didn't worship. Because he's talking about it right here. The angels weren't even created yet. So the angels couldn't worship him. And until they're created, until they're manifested, they don't worship. There was nothing to worship him. And so in his great mind, he wanted to express. He wanted these attributes to be expressed. They had to be. In order for there to be worship, they had to be expressed. And in him was love. In him was to be Father. In him was to be Son. In him was to be a Savior. All these things were to be. He was potentially all these things. And in him was to be a healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed were in God. See, because we saw the Savior. We saw what God wanted to express himself as a man would be like. We saw those things. We saw him as a healer. We see all these things, Brother Bram's saying, that was in him. We're seeing them taking place. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery, and that's what I want to talk. That's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began, and how that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. So now, the reason I'm bearing down on this is, like I said last time, is if Adam was done, which that's a common belief amongst the message, that Adam was perfect, eternal, finished, and then he fell, then that means God didn't have to do any of this. That he already had him. He was already there. He was already done and finished. But yet, him being done and finished, as people think he was done and finished, he still come against God. So how is that possible? How is that possible? Because Brother Bram said, if a house is divided, it's not a house. You can't have God coming against God. It's not going to happen. Amen. Brother Bram said, if you got God in you, you can't come against the word. Right. Know that. That's what he said. If it's in you, he can't come against the word. And Brother Bram said, you look at Christ. Christ didn't come against the word for nothing. Nothing. Starving for 40 days. He wasn't going to dance for the devil. He wasn't going to do a little stunt for the devil. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread? Why don't you do something? And he doesn't. He's not going to do anything for Satan. And so that is what a man, when God is expressing the man, that's what he looks like. That's what happens. And that's where he was going when he created Adam. I'm not putting Adam down. Adam was right what God made him to be. But God made that Adam to fall. He put him in that position to fall. He gave him Eve, who would fall like that. And he knew, Brother Ram said, he knew Adam would go with him, with her. And do you know what covenant they was under? Now, I know I've done said this 100 times, but I want you to see it so bad. If you see what happened back there, then you see how great his birth is and what God is doing now. Yeah. But as long as we make that just like this, we don't see it. And we got to see it. What God was doing. Brother Bram said it was his secret, and he's been unfolding it all the way down. All the way down, he's been unfolding it. All right. I'm sorry I get emotional, but, you know, on this message alone, I've spent 8 or 10 hours on this message. And that don't count praying. And that don't make it great or make it not great. It don't make me anything. I just made myself available for him that long. That's how long. Just for this one. And that's not going to make it. Get it over to you. That alone is not going to get it over to you. What I'm talking about is, what do we care about this message? Do we really care, or are we just going through the motions? And I'm not fussing y'all. Don't think I'm fussing y'all. I'm talking about humans, period. Amen. Humanity altogether. He would be given this gift like this. And people walk all over it. Ain't got no time for it. You know, on Sunday morning, ain't got their mind on it. On Sunday afternoon, surely ain't on it. You know what I'm saying? Everything about this life is what we're all concerned about. When God poured himself out through minister and through person and through death and through himself being spit upon and nailed to a cross and did all that for us to just, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like I know that. Yeah, that sounds good. I agree with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. What does it mean to us? Brother Bram said that when you go out there, when out there on the field, he said, and he said, you come up against them devils. He said, you better know where you stand. Amen. Are you carefree in God? Or are you doing something? Because if you're doing anything, if you don't have your trust in him completely, because that's where he put Adam. He said Adam, it was on equal basis with him. That ain't what he told Abraham at all. And what he told Abraham was the eternal. What he told Adam was, Adam, you choose right and wrong. I'm telling you this is right. Now you choose. It's on you, Adam. Whatever you choose. Brother Ram said Adam had something to do in it. Abraham had nothing to do in it. See that contrast. God didn't set perfection under that. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? Don't miss it. Please don't miss it. Because then you realize what's happening right now in you and every one of God's children right now. When they accept this, they're accepting the hard-won, blood-let message. It took a long war and battle, and Satan made it hard. And there's a lot of people gave their life for this message. What does it mean to us? What does it mean to us? Because we can only answer that for me. I can only answer it for me. What does it mean to me? It means everything to me. And I believe it means the same to you. In the hour we're living in, what an arc this is. Above all the things that are going on and everything that's going on. We sang this morning about him being our peace. Is he our peace? Through everything, there's bombings and stuff going on there, wars and rumors of wars going on, earthquakes in diverse places, strange places. There was an earthquake in Sherrill's Ford this week, or somewhere around Sherrill's Ford, Catawba. I mean, not that there hadn't been earthquakes there before, but what I'm saying is, you know, we're not looking for signs, but if people are looking for signs, the signs are there. And Brother Ram, even they said the worldly people even know something's going on. They even realize something's going on. But only the bride has peace. Only the bride has peace. She's not whistling in the graveyard. Who's ever heard that statement? I know y'all have heard that. Whistling in the graveyard. You're whistling in the graveyard to take your mind off where you're at. Because you're uncomfortable with where you're at. You could imagine as a kid, you know, you got all these superstitions in your head when you're a little kid and you're walking through the graveyard thinking, oh, there might be a ghost or something get me or something nonsense like that when you're a kid. And so you start whistling to take your mind off of it. And now you apply that to the world and everybody's everyday living. They're living and they're whistling. You know, they're holding up their religion. They're holding up their doctrine. They're holding up their whatever against it. They're whistling, but they're not in Christ. Brother Bram said, there's going to be a lot of surprise people one day. Amen. But I want to talk about being in him this morning. So let's look at that. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began and how it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. That secret was still unfolding. See, and then you understand clearly, see, oh, I believe what is being done. God's great mystery and how it's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knowed nothing about it. Nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it, see. See, he didn't believe it. That's the reason. Under our seventh mystery, under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. So something must have to do with his coming, the seventh seal. We know that. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. And he said, even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen. See? God has this all to himself. It's a secret. No, in other words, when's all this going to unfold? He's been unfolding all the way down to now. So when's it going to be done? It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. And the seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was even forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet of how he will come and when he will come. But Brother Bram said, from the first thing in the Bible to the end is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But yet he hasn't revealed it. Yet when Brother Bram said, when the seals come open, the Bible become a new book. There was silence when it was opened, but the Bible became a new book. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet of how he will come and when he will come. It's a good thing he doesn't. No. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. How he will come and when he will come. Therefore, the entire Bible. Therefore. I love those therefores. Therefore means if I can say this, then I can say this. Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. Whose mystery? It's God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal. One goal. Expression of God's great goal. I'm sorry, I jumped place here. Here we go. An expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. Think about it. He had one goal and one purpose. Just one. And that was expressing himself. All those attributes he had in him, that's what he was going to do. But how he was going to do that and when he was going to do that, nobody knew. And yet, Brother Branham's saying that after the seals came open, somehow after the seals come open, he realized from everything in the entire Bible was talking about it. Everything was in type there. One goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type. So that means all of those acts were God acting in his people. Because it's God. He don't need an interpreter. He does his own interpreting by bringing it to pass. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type in expressing what God's great goal is. The one goal, the one purpose. And now in this last day, he has revealed it and shows it. This thing that he said he's kept secret all the time, now he's revealed it and showed it. Wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that when the seal come open, the Bible will become a new book to Brother Branham. Now, the last day, he has revealed it and shows it. And God's help, well, you'll see it right here this morning of how he will come and when he will come. You'll see it right here this morning. I'm reading. Amen. That's God happening before the people. What happened when the first one reached maturity? It's plucked up, waved over the people. What happened when Brother Branham was set at the foot of at the head of the table? He was caught up in the sky with the angels. What the Lord had in his mind all along and has expressed it in a threefold manner. We talked about that a while ago. And let's back up just a little bit and let's look at him expressing it in different places of the Bible here as he was unfolding it. What was it? Jehovah God spoke that ram into existence. Sure he did. And he's talking about the ram that Abraham needed for a sacrifice when he was going to sacrifice his son. It wasn't a vision. He killed the ram. Blood came out of it. It was a real ram. Sure it was. And the blood poured out of it. And the ram come into existence 1 minute and went out in the next minute. It was God's provided way to give a blessing to his child that had trusted him to the end of the road. You see that? That's what I meant by putting all your eggs in one basket. He's the basket. Put them all in there. Rest. Be carefree in him. That's what I'm talking about. It's what he's showing right there in the Bible, how that he done that same thing for Abraham. You ever go have a chance to go read that? He tells the story several different ways. He talks about Abraham having got Isaac up there and put him on the altar and had all the wood under him and everything and raised up the knife. Raised up the knife and still God didn't stop him. Brother Ram said he started down with the knife and the angel caught him and stopped him. He followed him to the end. His trust was completely in God. Do you realize what that was in Abraham? Willing to give his son if that's what God asked. If that wasn't God in Abraham, I don't know what was. God gave his only begotten son. You talk about a type. Remember what Brother Bram said? Every type in the Bible was showing the revelation of Jesus Christ. Every little thing. God is able at this moment, minute, to speak every cancer out of this building. Open up every blinded eye to set everybody in the freedom and liberty. God has provided a way. He's made a way. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the way. He didn't provide two ways, three ways, six ways, one way. And the Holy Ghost is brooding over us today. The Holy Ghost is all over us. It's blessing us. It brings an atmosphere. And why is it you can take a hen egg and put it in a brooder house? The mother hen don't have to be over the egg to hatch it. Just so it has got some warmth over it, it'll hatch. Oh God, he sent his word, and that's what I'm trying to give you. That's what I'm trying to give you. Brother Ram said the prophet was responsible for every word. And that when the prophet comes on the scene, God is fixing to speak. He sent his word. Oh God, he sent his word. And that's what I'm trying to give you. His word, his promise. He prepared it at Calvary. He prepared the sacrifice for your healing this morning. He's got it here. And he watches over it. And you're getting in it. You're getting it in your heart. As you're sitting there taking it by revelation, you're getting it in your heart, and the Holy Ghost is brooding over it. Had to have a bedding ground. But then when it hits there, then the sun goes to shining on it, bringing it to life. I'll take life. It'll take life and produce just exactly what God said it would produce. Every word will produce just exactly what it promised. Do we believe that? If you take that in your heart, that word that applies to you, he'll make it happen. Every word will produce just exactly what it promised because God has provided it. Look at the preparation. When a person's getting ready to put their to set their chickens and things, how they select the eggs, their eggs, and put them under the brooder and put them in the brooder house, and how the heat is regulated. The heat is kept over that egg until it's hatched. And God is so set in order that one day, through all the types, back through Adam, through Eve, Adam and Eve were types, back through Adam, through Eve, down through the prophets were types, down through Abraham, a type, he set in order. He put it in the Old Testament, showing what he was going to do. You see that? And then he did it. Writing his Bible with the lives of his people by the Holy Ghost. Showing what he was going to do. And he finished it at Calvary when he sent Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The peace we were singing about this morning. This is where he won that at. With his stripes, we were healed. He finished it at Calvary. Then he anointed preachers and set it out now to bring the word. To put the eggs in the right position. Tell them the right thing. They have to have the right word. Not somebody's idea about it. When he sent this same word and anchors it out there and then comes and hovers over it by the Holy Spirit. He's only going to hover over the word, not part of it, not some twisted something. That's what they tried to do back there in the garden. They tried to change it. They let Satan change it for them. And then what did it do? It brought forth death. Didn't bring forth the life. Until the word becomes life in the human heart. The Holy Ghost, the It hovers over it by the Holy Ghost until the word becomes life in the human heart. And all devils out of hell couldn't keep life out of it. No, sir. No, no. Wherever the egg is, if it's a duck egg, it'll bring a duck. If it's a chicken, it'll bring a chicken. If it's a bird, it'll bring a bird. If God promised salvation, take that promise into your heart. And the Holy Ghost will brood over it till it comes to life. So many times people want to let Satan talk them out of it. Give them some reason why they shouldn't just keep staying right there until he does it. But don't. You stay. Brother Branham said, what did he say about Abraham? His child followed him to the end. Followed him all the way to the end. And if God's in your heart, he'll do it. He'll hold you. As that song Brother Michael sings, something keeps holding me. Through it all, something keeps holding me. It ain't because we're afraid of hell or afraid of these different things. It's because we want to please him. He put it in our hearts. We just don't understand what's going on. And if he promised healing, take it into your heart. It's God's provided way. Amen. So let's move over to the Church Ages book. And let's look here at the garden just for a little bit more before we go to these next ones. Now we've come this far. Let me try to crystallize your thinking on this subject so you can see the necessity of our going into the serpent seed doctrine as I have. We start with the fact that there were two trees in the midst of the garden. Now, I've pointed this out before. There was two trees, and God said, it's perfect. It's exactly the way I want it. That's odd to think about that, isn't it? Because one of them was the tree of the mixed tree, the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. There were two trees in the midst of the garden. The tree of life was Jesus. The other tree is definitely Satan, because of what came forth of the fruit of that tree. So he put Satan in the middle of the garden and said it was perfect. It was exactly like he wanted it. And those are the prophet's words, not Chris's. The other tree is definitely Satan because of what came forth of the fruit of that tree. Now then, we know that both of those trees had a relationship to man, or they would never have been placed there. They was going to play some part in man's expression. They must have had a part in the sovereign plan and purpose of God in their relationship to mankind and to himself. Or we could never impute omniscience unto God. So in other words, if God didn't know when he put this here, then how can you say God knows everything? We know God knows everything. He put it here and he planned it. None of this was a surprise. Even though sometimes Brother Branham says the way he tells the story, it sounds like God was sort of surprised at what was happening. He put his trust in his son and everything was good. And then his trust, you know, his son come against him. But God knew. And in fact, there's a quote where Brother Branham said God knew exactly what they would do. In the sovereign plan and purpose of God, in their relationship to mankind and to himself, or we could never impute omniscience unto God. This is all true so far, is it not? Now the word must most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. Now, what we should do when we read that is not try to explain it. Just take it. Just take it exactly like he said it. Earth, the purpose of God was to share. Brother Bram said he had one purpose a while ago, one goal. And now he's sort of explaining it a little more about this one goal and this one purpose. From before the foundation of the world, this one purpose was to share his eternal life. I wonder if sharing his eternal life has anything to do with expressing himself. Is that not the same thing? Because he has one goal, one purpose, one thing in the whole Bible that he wanted to do. And what did Brother Branham say the threefold purpose was? He could express himself in Christ, that he might have preeminence in his people, and then he could restore Eden. Go, you can go read it. It's there. He says it multiple times in that message. And that message, if you read the message a lot, you'll start to realize how odd that message is. How oddly it's placed. Because it's like somebody parked the Titanic in a shipyard full of sailboats. That's what it looks like. Because that message is huge. And he's preaching all these messages. And then all of a sudden, this message, Christ the mystery of God revealed, comes along. It's 3 hours long. And then he goes back to these other messages. Not these other messages weren't good. But that message was monumental how big it was. And Brother Ram even remarked that that was a tape load. No, he said he was putting up food. Well, I'm telling you, that was food. Definitely sets forth from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. And I listed the two scriptures there, but I didn't put in the whole scripture. You can go back and read those. But that life could not and would not, this eternal life that God wants to share with man, it will not be shared in any other way than the way of God manifest in flesh. So how could Adam have already had it shared with him? There's only one way. That's through Christ. Let's keep reading it. Shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in flesh. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. This was a part of him expressing himself. This was a part of him having preeminence in the bride. This was a whole part of it. That's what it was. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose, that he would share eternal life through Jesus Christ. No other way. This plan has to be to the praise and the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Now listen closely. God being a savior, it was necessary that he would predestinate a man who would require salvation. He predestinated a man that would require salvation. But how can evil come from God? How is that possible? How could a man that's lost come from God? He can't. So that's the whole thing. Now, men have wondered about that for years until the prophet come along and explained it and broke the open to us. Now listen closely. God being a savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. So this one goal that he had and this one purpose, this was part of it. This had to happen. There had to be a man lost, and he had to predestinate that man for it to happen. Now you see why he put Adam under a different covenant than the one he put Abraham under? Because that one was predestinated to fall. It was predestinated to fall. That is 100% correct. And multitudes of scripture bear it out, as does the very pointed verse of Romans 11:36. For of him, this is a beautiful, beautiful scripture. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. To Christ. Everything was to be through Christ. Man could not directly come and partake of that tree of life in the midst of the garden. Why? Brother Branham said, the scripture says that they could eat of any tree but the tree of knowledge. But now he's saying that man couldn't come take of it. That eternal life of the tree had to become flesh first. So Adam was under a covenant that God knew he was going to fail at. He knew it. Because there was only one way he was going to give life to man. What was the covenant with Adam? If you do this, Adam, then you can live forever. That was the covenant. But that's not what he told Abraham. Abraham, before the foundation of the world, I've already laid it out. That was his one purpose. That's when we started to see more about what God had done all that time. All those things through the scripture. There's so many things through that scripture that testifies of it. Brother Branham, you ought to hear him go through Joseph sometimes. How that Joseph, well, you just, I'll send you the quotes if you want to read about it. How Joseph typed Christ, how David typed Christ, all these different things that were taking place. And those scriptures I sent the other day, about half of those are Psalms that were manifested in Jesus' life there. David singing songs that were going to happen one day. The eternal life of that tree had to become flesh first. God don't do things two ways. He does it one way. But before God could raise and save a sinner, he had to have a sinner to raise and save. Man had to fall. The fall which would be caused by Satan. So God set it up for Satan to take advantage of. And had to have flesh to make fall. And Satan had to come through flesh also. But Satan could not come through human flesh to make the fall, as would Christ come in human flesh to restore the fallen. Amen. So we talked about them covenants, that covenant. So let's look at it a little bit more. A covenant, if you look it up, it means agreement. So that really makes sense when you look at the one with Adam, because he says, Adam, if you do this, then I'll do this. But when he made the agreement with Abraham, Abraham had nothing to do. I've already done it, Abraham. Brother Bram said, because it was unconditional, it was eternal. There's nothing, it can't branch and go this way if this happens. There's no if. There's no if in eternal. God made a covenant with the man. And every time that God makes a covenant with the man, man can't keep his covenant. Not the man before the fall, not the man after the fall. None of them can keep his covenant. Man breaks it. He tried it with Adam. Adam broke it. Every time he makes a covenant, he made it with Israel through the law. They broke it. No man can keep it. No man can keep it. Brother Bram said he gave Israel the law to show them that it wasn't going to work, that they couldn't keep it. So God, so determined to save the people, he made this covenant. He was determined to save man. So he made it unconditional. He swore by himself not have the man to do anything into it. Amen. What I'm trying to do is get to the Pentecostal people to let them realize who they are, see? To realize who's doing it. If you only knew who you was tonight, there'd come such a spontaneous whirl of faith through here till there wouldn't be a sick person. There'd be no need of having a prayer line if people that's here realize who they are. Because if you realize who you are, you realize the promises are all to you personally. That's the only way you can do it. How do you think of it? It is in foreign nations, walking against demons and powers and everything, and you have to know where you're standing. See, he has to know who he is. He can't be guessing who he is. He can't be sympathizing with the message. He has to know that he and the message are one. Satan don't care how loud you holler. Satan don't care how much you jump up and down. Satan will lay right there. But he has to recognize faith. He has to recognize somebody who knows who they are. Those Hebrew children knew who they were. That word was everything to them. They weren't going to turn against it. Life didn't mean anything to them compared to the word. You talk about somebody knowing who they are. They knew who they were. I can't get over it. Sometimes I go back and read that about. He mentioned it so many times. He talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And one of them one of them had gotten prayed up and would turn around to them and said, "Are you all prayed up? Is everything good? Everything's good, brother. Everything's fine." Because this was three men. This has really happened. It's not just a story. God was writing his Bible. It'll move him. And if God wrote his Bible in those people, and you believe you're God's people, is he stopped writing his Bible? The scripture says you're written epistles, read of all men. Does he stop writing one day? The Bible says it will unfold throughout eternity. He doesn't stop. God continues to unfold himself. And what was his one purpose in the Bible? Was so he could have man and express himself in man. Brother Bram said that that's where his headquarters is. That's where it is today. But Satan has to recognize faith. It'll move him every time. So that's where it is today. The church has got the blessing, but they don't know it. And this is a message just real close to that other one. And in the Garden of Eden, as soon as man realized that he had sinned, instead of running up and down the street or the paradise there saying, "Father, Father, where are you?" he was hiding. Brother Ram's saying the way he should be acting, but here's the way he was acting. And it was God running up and down that way, hollering, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" See the nature of man? Instead of coming out and confessing in the open and being sincere about it and saying, "God, I've sinned, and forgive me," he'll run and hide behind something. And the one thing Adam did, which is a great strain on man, he made himself a homemade religion. And if you're doing this yourself, I don't care how much you say you believe the message, you're a denomination. That's right. Believe me, I walked along that way a long time. And the scripture says that they make the word of God of no effect by teaching these doctrines. Well, if we keep on thinking that we're going to do something, then we're putting ourselves back under that Adam covenant. And we saw what happened there. We can't do it. That wasn't an accident that God put that like that to show us that that wasn't going to work. There was one way God was going to do it. That's why so many times they asked Brother Branham, who saved Israel? Was it Moses or was it God? Brother Branham said it was God in Moses. See, they're separating them. God put them back together the way he made it. It's God expressing himself. We saw Moses try to do it, kill an Egyptian, end up on the backside of the desert for 40 years. That was Moses trying to do it. But then when he had that burning bush experience, it was God doing it after that. And the one thing Adam did, which is a great strain on people, on man, he made himself a homemade religion. Now, we know the world religion means a covering. And Adam, instead of saying, "God, cover me," he made himself some aprons out of fig leaves, he and Eve. And now, I don't know if y'all went back and read that message, Anointed Ones at the End Time, where Brother Bram talked about they're having all these signs and wonders, healings, speaking in tongues, all these things. And Brother Bram said they'll point to those things and say we're fine, but then go live any old way they want to. But they're okay because they'll point at that. Does that sound like a fig leaf to you? He's given them a fig leaf if that's what they want. He and Eve, and they worked all right as long as God wasn't around. It was covering as long as God wasn't around. God's going to see right through that. But when they come in the presence of God, they realize that their fig leaf religion wouldn't work. And brother, there's so much of that today. I'm afraid that you're going to find the same thing when God comes again. That homemade fig leaf religion won't stand in the presence of God. God had to make a covering for them. See that? He was already, Brother Bram said, he was already making that other covenant that he made there with Abraham because they tried to cover themselves. See, he was transitioning away from that already. So he went and killed the animal and put it on them, and he covered them. See, he was going to be the covering all the time. God had to make a covering for them. Now, if you'll notice what caused this great thing in the beginning, God took man for a partner. Now, he's going to explain what I just said. God took man for a partner, and he made a covenant with man, equal, and told man, if thou shalt do this and not do this, and the man broke his covenant. And he always breaks his covenant. Man just can't keep his promise. That's all. Remember, that was the man before the fall. That's the man that caused the fall. I mean, he didn't cause it. Eve caused it, but he went with her. Man just kept his promise. Can't keep his promise. That's all. There's only one can keep his promise. That's God. There's only one can bring his word to pass, and that's God. It was always going to be that way. Even when he gave it to Adam and said, Adam, keep my word. It was still only God who could keep it. God was showing that it was only God can keep it. There's only one can keep his promise. That's God. Man cannot. He breaks his covenant every time with God. But right in Eden, watch God. He said, I, the personal pronoun, I will put enmity. Not if you'll do a certain thing, I'll send a redeemer. But I will put enmity between her seed and the serpent seed and so forth. And I will do that. Not if you do something, now I'm taking over, Adam. Y'all have done messed up. It's done gone into you. You've crossed the breach now. Now I'm taking over. I will put enmity between her seed and the serpent seed. Not only any conditions that Adam had to do. So it wasn't anything Adam had to do at this point. But he said he would do it sovereignly on his own. And now how God has always made his covenant. And when he made it with man, the greatest mistake Israel ever made was in Exodus, the 19th chapter. When grace had already provided a savior, it had already provided a deliverer, it had already provided an atonement, a shed blood, and Israel said, don't let God speak, let Moses speak. They wanted a law or commandments. They'd done seen God show himself doing it, but they wanted something they could keep. See that nature Brother Bram is talking about? They've given us some commandments, and we'll keep those commandments. Brother Mammon said they gave them the law and they couldn't keep it. Man can't keep it. They wanted a law or commandments or something that they could do themselves. You see the nature of man trying to find something to do himself towards merit salvation. We're not going to merit salvation. Now see what the grace of God had already done. Sent Moses, a deliverer, and sent an atonement, a shed blood sacrifice, a medium between God and man. And after his grace had did this, all this, then still the children of Israel wanted something to do to merit their salvation. And I'm just reading you little slivers, because he talked about this a bunch. Go look it up. It's all over the place. Without money or price. I don't know if you've had a without money and without price. That message. That's a good one. Isn't that just like people today? It doesn't change. The only thing, unless you are born again, it's not going to change. Isn't that just like the people today? You want to keep Sabbath days. Quit eating meat. Do something another. You want to do something to merit your salvation. Put on long dresses. Don't cut your hair. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. Now we can have movie night on Fridays. And we can do this on Saturday. We can just do whatever we want. Because we done kept the three commandments. Or however how many. I'm just giving those three as an example. But that's the, I hate to say it, but that's the majority of the message. You want to do something to merit your salvation. If you don't believe it, go provoke them a little bit about self-righteousness and see what happens. So self-righteous, and brother, if we ain't careful, you'll be the same way. Amen. All of us. Correct. When it's just as free can be. That's right. Because that's what that is. Having something that you can do makes you lift it up. See, you lift yourself up by, I did this and I done that. It's the same as Satan. Said, I'm going to have a kingdom greater than Michael's. I'll be exalted above all of them. See, that's that same spirit. Wanting to do something yourself instead of just relying on God. That's not even like the bride is supposed to be. The bride is supposed to whatever he wants. The bride is like Jesus said, it's not me that do the works. It's the Father. See, I just do what he tells me to do. Not me lifted up, him lifted up. Then it's just as free can be. You want to do something to merit your salvation when it's just as free can be. That's right. I hear people say, oh, praise God, I sought day and night. No, you never. There never was a man sought God. God seeks man, not man seeking God. Oh, you say, preacher, I did. No, you never. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. See, you don't seek God. God seeks you. It's always the seeker. God seeking the lost, not the lost seeking God. You couldn't have nothing to do with it. You're not saved tonight on any merits of your own or anything. You're saved because God's sovereign grace called you to Jesus Christ. You care about this message. If you really care about this message, you called because you're doing that because God's sovereign grace called you to it. Called you to Jesus Christ and the only way. It ain't whether you keep Sabbath days or new moons or whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat or whether you do this or you do that. You're saved by grace and grace alone, the only thing. Brother Ram said, we live according to the word because we love God. And we couldn't think of doing something to hurt him. We don't want it. Not that people don't make mistakes. He didn't say that. But he's saying that you don't want to. You don't want to do any of that. There's no desire in you to do that. Now when you can get that in your mind, settle down, that it's nothing you can do about it. You'll find out the same things by healing. In other words, not just salvation. Healing applies the same way. If God will help me in a few minutes, I'll show you that healing is the same basis. That's right. It's God's unconditional covenant, not what you can do for him. Not if you can work up enough faith. It's his unconditional covenant. I'm pretty sure I read y'all the quote where Brother Ram said that God gave Abraham that faith. Okay. So if you had to work it up, it's not unconditional, is it? Someone said, Brother Branham, when you was off those 8 months, that time, almost to a breakdown, did you keep your religion? I said, no, sir. My religion kept me. That's it. I can't. It isn't whether I hang on or not. It isn't whether I hold out. It's whether he holds out or not. Whether he held out. That's nothing I can do. It's what he has done for me. Then what Christ done for me in God. That's the reason I'm saved tonight. Yes, sir. Not what I could do, not be by good works are we saved, but by his mercies. God has saved us in Christ unconditionally. You were Gentiles, alienated from God, cut off without hope and without mercy. Christ in his sovereign grace died in our stead, taking our place. So it's not nothing we done, nothing we could boast in. Paul said, God forbid that he boast save the cross of Jesus Christ. That's right. In Christ, he boasted. Now, after the antediluvian destruction, the wiping out of the world, God started the people out again. So after he got rid of all the physical serpent seed, he started the people out again. And in Genesis, we find a man by the name of Abraham, the son of, I forget what his father's name was, Hiram, that came down probably from Babylon, an idol worshiper, came down in the valleys of Shinar. So Abraham's daddy was an idol worshiper. In fact, he was supposed to separate from him, and he didn't. And it was after Abraham's daddy died that the promise started to come there. Dwelled in the land of Chaldea in the city of Ur. He was married to his half-sister Sarah. And as they come down in this land, and all the peoples there was everywhere, Abraham wasn't anybody any better than anyone else. He's trying to show you he didn't merit it. He didn't shine out. His daddy was an idolater. He had never been taught right. But God, by sovereign grace and election, called Abraham according to election. That's it. No thing said that Abraham was any better. Don't even say he was a believer in the beginning. But God, with his unmerited grace, Abraham was saved. And not only was he saved, but when God called Abraham, he saved him and gave him his covenant unconditionally. And that, from there, went on and on and on until the day Jesus Christ walked up the day on Calvary. It become that unconditional fulfillment of whatever we was going to need for salvation. Never. He didn't say, Abraham, now, if you'll do a certain thing. He said, I have. Notice it. You will come to me in an old age in peace. Right now, 70-something years before it happened. God said, I've already saved you. And not only you, but your seed after you. And when you get to thinking of that, without any merits, without anything, God's covenant was unconditional to Abraham. And God told him he saved him. And not only Abraham, but his seed also. Amen. So he done set it in place. And all that was God doing that one thing that we talked about. The one goal. He was bringing this to pass that he might express himself. It doesn't look like he left anything to chance, does it? Nothing. He knew everything was going to happen. He was so confident after he was done on the sixth day that he rested. All it was set in place. Man, how much more can we feel confident in him that he's going to take care of all these things? Like we were talking about before, about being carefree in him. We don't have to take and try to do stuff ourselves. Not even, I was reading something this morning. He was talking about not even worrying about how to get your meal next meal. And stuff like that. Resting in him. I'm not telling you not to go work. Brother Bram didn't say that. But don't worry. Don't worry if you're going to have this job tomorrow. Or no job the next day. Or if the few food shortages they're calling about is going to happen. Don't worry. Just do. Just be. Right. Just live for him and trust him. Whatever he leads you to do, do it. And he will lead you. I mean, that was his whole purpose. To express himself in you. You're part of that.
So he's not going to not express himself in you. He said, you will have thus saith the Lord, or you'll be quiet. It sounds like he's expressing himself to me. That's only given to this age. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. So let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you helped me. Lord, you know that you know my heart, Lord. You know how I run from this for so many years. And even now, Lord, some may wish I had kept on running, but I have to do what you want me to do. And Lord, I pray that you'll be able to use some little something from something that's said today to help someone, whether they're sitting here now or they'll listen later or whatever, Lord. But I want to count myself with the three Hebrew children. Maybe not walking into a fiery furnace, but I'll not walk away from this as you call me to. I'll stay right with it, Lord. Though it's your word slay me, I'll stay right with it. Thinking about that song that I think Sister Eleanor used to sing. And Father, if we stay with your word, it will slay this old flesh. Lord, it'll put it in its place. And we're thankful for it, Lord. Let us never shirk away. And lead us, Lord, as we go from here. Bless us, Lord. Bring us back together. Be with the ones that weren't here. You know Brother Goomba's heart, Lord. You know he wants to be here. And you know that you give him that job. So we're trusting you're going to work that out for him, Lord. That he can be off on Sundays. And Lord, we pray you'll remember Emily. He's been sick. The children, Lord, be with her. And not only with the sick, Lord, but her back has been troubling her. It only takes one touch. Lord, let her look to you for that. To be happy and carefree in you. All of us the same, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So.